Well, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. How many have ever swore to that in your life, maybe in a court setting or in a deposition that you gave? How does it make you feel when you swear like that to tell the truth? And did it make it more likely you would be any more truthful? Sadly, we live in a world where unless a person is forced to take such an oath under penalty of perjury, some people will lie. And some people will still lie even after taking an oath. Amen? We're learning that, aren't we? It says a lot about the world we live in. You may have heard about the lawyer who raised his voice at the boy who had just spent the last 20 terrifying minutes on the witness stand. "Be honest, son," the lawyer said. "Your dad told you what to say in court today, didn't he?" And the boy said, "Yes, sir, he did." And the lawyer knew he had the boy right where he wanted him. And he said, "Okay, son, what did your dad tell you to say?" And the boy said, "Dad told me to just tell the truth and everything would be all right." Wouldn't you like to live in a world like where everybody lived like that? Where everybody just told the truth and trusted that telling the truth would make everything come out all right. We're in the midst of a series now. We're talking about being very careful before we hit send, what we say online, how far it goes, the damage it can do. And this morning we're using as our filter from God's Word, is it true? Is it true? How many have discovered that everything posted online is not true? Online is a place where product ratings are faked by fictitious customers who are really the producers of the very products they're trying to sell. Online is where clickbait is embedded everywhere. Hackers create false websites to try and trick you into giving up your passwords and usernames while downloading malware and spyware onto your computers. Online is where fake news is claimed by both sides to have changed the election outcomes. Online is where more than half of all online daters believe someone else is posting false information in their profile and they're using fake photos and fake biographies in hopes of spreading a more enticing catfishing net. Online is where parents are having to warn their children, trying to protect their children from predators who are waiting to destroy their children. Online is where sheriff deputies have been assigned to patrol, pretending to be underage children in hopes of catching some of those predators before they catch our children. Online is where numbers of Facebook and Instagram likes and views and followers and friends are faked to make certain pages and certain posts look more popular than what they really are. Online is where social networking posts and selfies are staged to the point that vacation photos and family gatherings are barely recognizable by some of the very family members who took those vacations and went on those family gatherings where the photos were taken. There's so much deception going on online. I was delightfully impressed not long ago with the honesty of one young man in our congregation. I texted him early one morning to wish he and his family a wonderful vacation that I knew that they were heading out on. And this young man thanked me in his text back, But he confessed how he'd forgotten how frazzling and difficult it could be to just get his wife and three kids all packed up and out in the car. That's not the kind of thing you post online, is it? Don't see selfies of that. I smiled and I thought to myself, at last, an honest man. And I told him to enjoy the journey. Those kids wouldn't be young for very long. Honesty. Honesty. That's what we're talking about this morning, but I want us to especially think about honesty online. One business article I read in preparing for this message asked and then answered their own question, is it easier to lie online? Is it easier to lie online than real and in person? Here was their answer. This was a business journal. Is it easier to lie online? The business journal said, yes, of course. Of course it's easier to lie online. It's just the world that we live in, the article says. You might as well get used to it. The world's a-changing. What we forget is that the New Testament Christians lived in a world that was just as dishonest. Just as deceptive. Dishonesty is not something new. Now, the New Testament Christians didn't have to deal with computers and smartphones and the internet, but theirs was a world filled with just as many lies and deceptions and half-truths as ours is. In fact, the context of the scripture that Noel read to us this morning is about the Apostle Paul reminding New Testament Christians of the kind of world that they'd walked away from to follow Jesus. And it was a largely Gentile world that had not been steeped in Jewish laws and traditions. One of those laws of the top 10 being, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's a Jewish law. That wasn't a Gentile law. The Gentiles didn't live under that code of ethics. And Paul says to those new Christians who had no experience living within the boundary of that kind of honesty, Paul said, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You used to. You used to be one of them. You used to be as dishonest as any of them. But you must no longer, because you've chosen to follow Christ. Those Gentiles are walking in the futility of their minds. They don't know what they're doing. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous. They've given themselves up to all sorts of sinful practices, the Apostle Paul says. Sinful practices that new Christians were now supposed to have walked away from. One of them being deception. Deception is a practice Christians are to have walked away from. Now, it was just a common practice in the first century dog-eat-dog Gentile world in which they had lived in. But once they decided to become Christians, they were supposed to walk away from deception and live in that way no longer. Therefore, the last verse of the text that Noel read, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now that gives us three things to look for before hitting send. We need to first remember from where we come. Remember from where we come. Therefore, having put away falsehood, we have left the world of deception. But that is the world from which we came. Now, sometimes people will hear my pure, unadulterated English and they'll ask me, where are you from? Because sometimes where we're from hangs around on us. Have you noticed that? You can try to buck it, but sometimes it hangs around on us, and sometimes it rears its ugly head and betrays us. We need to remember as Christians from what a very deceitful world we've come from, with all kinds of deceitful practices, which we all became very proficient at from a very early age. How young were you when you learned to start being deceptive? I can't remember a time in my life when I was so young I did not know how to lie. I didn't do it. My sister did it. I think I was saying that when I was 3 years old. That's the world from which we came. From the very beginning, the great deceiver came into our world in the form of a serpent, and he said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the world from which we've all come from changed forever. Deception entered our world, and the devil's craftiness led this whole world into sin and into rebellion and into the knowledge of deception. Oh, so that's how it's done. And it's from him that we've learned this craft of his, this craft of deception. And our world has become expert apprentices of Satan, the great deceiver. Jesus said to those who were plotting to kill him in the New Testament, he said this, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he has taught his children well." Man, does our world know how to lie? That's the world into which you and I were born. We must never forget that. Remember from where you've come. This is the world in which we've been born. We were raised and steeped in this philosophy. This is the way you get by. This is the way you get ahead. You lie. That's the world in which we were born. But that is not the world in which we are to live. That's the kind of world we were supposed to walk away from when we chose to follow Jesus. We need to remember that every time we get ready to hit send, we need to ask ourselves, is this the kind of statement that the children of this new world that I now live in sends? Is this true? What I'm getting ready to send. Do I know that this is true? Is this the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God before I hit send. We need to ask ourselves that question. Now last week, we heard from a man on the floor of the U.S. Senate make a terrible accusation. He was simply repeating what was printed in a national newspaper. But he followed that statement with this caveat. He said, "Now, I don't know if that's true." But if it is, he said, "I don't know that that's true, but if it is, after already putting it out there, something that he did not know whether it was true, Folks, what do we do with statements that we don't know whether they are true or not? What do you do when you come on a statement? Let me change the technology a bit. Let's go back 40 years. What do we call it when someone got on the telephone and repeated something they did not know if it was true or not? What do we call that? Just because it's on the computer doesn't make it any more right. Or a smartphone. Are you repeating things that you do not know are true? We don't want to be among those who hit sin without knowing what we're saying is true. That may be what our world does, but that is the world that we were supposed to walk away from when we chose to follow Christ. Yes, it's a deceptive world. There's a lot of that going on. But we've walked away, or we're supposed to have. We need to remember from where we've come before we had sinned. And we need to remember to whom we now belong. And here Paul wasn't talking about Christ. In other places, he does talk about us belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, but not here. Paul is reminding us here that we who have left the world of deception to follow Christ are now members of one another. We now belong to each other, for we are members of one another. G.K. Chesterton said it this way. He said, "We're all in the same boat on the same stormy sea, and we owe each other a terrible loyalty." I remember being out on a lake down in southern Kentucky when a terrible storm came through. We were told later that a tornado had come through. I did not see that, but we were just trying to get off the lake. Three of us in this little fishing boat, and every one of us doing all we could. My job was to bucket the water out of the boat as fast as I could as it was filling up with waves and rain. But everybody was doing all we could to stay afloat just till we get to shore, where we tied the boat up and it sank under the storm while we waited out the storm on shore. We're all in the same boat together, folks, on a stormy sea. This is a terrible world of deception we live in today that we've claimed to walk away from to follow Christ today. We owe each other a terrible allegiance. We need to remember that before we hit send. Last week, I went down to Zanesville to express my condolences to the wife of a man I've known since grade school. We're both West Virginians. He went to Huntington Schools, and I went to Hurricane Schools. Those are neighboring towns. We spent our summers together at church camp, Howells Mill Christian Assembly in Ona, West Virginia. I was always impressed with little Joey. Little Joey was a one-armed boy for as far back as I ever knew him. And yet he could run circles around all us other boys. He was so athletic. The most surprising thing, I watched him every morning at camp for years. Joey would tie his shoes with his teeth. It just amazed me. It amazed me. There's nothing that boy couldn't do. And I ended up going to Bible college with Joey. And Joey played on the college basketball team. And he was a pitcher on the college baseball team. We both graduated, went out to be preachers. I lost track of him. But I ran into Joey a little over 30 years ago when I came to Licking County. It turned up that I discovered Joey was an elder out at the East 40 Church of Christ in between Zanesville and Norwich. And he's helping build that little congregation. At the time when I came here, that church was running about 40 or 60. About 20 years ago, it was running about 100.
Last Sunday, it was 275. Lord's doing a great work there. Joey taught in the Zanesville school system. He became one of the Zanesville football coaches. Some of you have probably seen him on the field, a one-armed man. You probably never knew who he was, but I knew. And I was so proud of him and the difference he was trying to make in so many young Muskingum lives. And I was happy to tell his wife so. I went to school with Kim also. We were standing by the casket this week, and she was so happy to introduce me to her children, her grown daughter, who's now so faithful to the Lord, and a son, Joseph Joshua Robinson III. Josh, we call him, our minister at First Christian Church in Dover, Ohio. And I saw the same twinkle in Josh's eyes that I'd seen so many years before in his father's eyes. A father that I look forward to seeing again in heaven. And I say all that to say this, we need to remember that time that is coming before hitting send. And before we say something that may not be completely true, it may be something that's only from one perspective, something that we may come to regret, and we may end up jeopardizing just such a friendship. We need to remember how one Christian songwriter says, friends can be friends forever if the Lord is the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go in the Father's hand, we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. Think about that before you hit send. Think about the friendship you may be jeopardizing. You say, well, we're not friends. That's now. Think about the day you may be standing at the head of the casket of that same person you're getting ready to make a comment about when you hit send. That day's coming. Think about not just the kind of dog-eat-dog deceptive world that we're supposed to have left behind and no longer live in. But think about this whole new world of friends to which now we supposedly belong. The boatload of Christ followers out on the same stormy sea and the terrible allegiance that we owe to one another. I owe it to you to say good things about you. And never to say anything that I don't know is true. And then the last thing to think about is the job we've been given of telling the whole world about Jesus. That last verse, Ephesians 4:25, says, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Now, who is your neighbor? You know, Jesus answered that question. He was asked that question, and he answered it in Luke chapter 10. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. He tells the story of a man who fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and left him half dead. And Jesus says, by chance, wouldn't you know it, a priest and a Levite, two religious men, came by. They saw the man who needed them. They just passed by him on the other side. But a Samaritan, a man considered to be outside of God's nation, when he came by, he saw the man and he went out of his way to help him. And then Jesus said, now which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? That's the kind of neighbor you and I are to be. That's the kind of neighbor you and I are to speak the truth to. We've got neighbors who are sick and tired of being lied to. We've got neighbors who have been robbed of the truth, and they are desperate to hear something that's really true. And if there's any truth this world desperately needs to hear, it's the truth about Jesus. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to tell the world the truth, but we have to earn the right to be heard. We have to earn the right to say such a thing. How do we do that? We do that by showing a little respect and compassion, and by, among other things, being careful about what we say before we hit sin. There's been a dozen people in my life that I would shut up and listen to no matter what subject was being discussed. When the time came that they opened their mouth, I would want to hear what they had to say on that subject. In my mind, they had earned the right to be heard. And I really wanted to hear what they had to say. We need to earn the right to be heard. And we do that by being careful what we say, among other things, before we hit sin. I learned a little ditty long before computers and smartphones and the internet that has served me very well. I don't know how long I've known it. I don't know for sure where I learned it. But it simply says, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Would people say that you're a person who speaks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Or do they put you in the same barrel as the rest of this deceptive world, this world that you and I were supposed to have walked away from when we chose to follow Christ? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Some of you may remember the old E.F. Hutton commercial that showed two people discussing their financial situations in crowded rooms. Inevitably, one person would say to the other, well, my financial advisor is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and suddenly the whole room would go silent as everyone in the room cupped their ears and turned in to listen to see what E.F. Hutton had to say. I don't know if E.F. Hutton's advice was really that phenomenal. But wouldn't it be great if the words that we say and the words that we post were like apples of gold in settings of silver? That's a proverb of the Old Testament. Let your words be like apples of gold in settings of silver. Wouldn't it be great if the words that we say and the words that we post were so choice, so trustworthy, so true, so helpful that our truth-starved world actually stopped what they were doing and strained to hear what it is that we have to say? And then we told them about Jesus. In our day and age, this kind of reputation starts with being careful of not playing fast and loose with the truth, especially online. Zechariah 8:16, These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates, and if I could add, on your tablets and computers and smartphones, render judgments that are true. And make for peace. Our world is ready to hear some people like that. Amen? Let's be them. And when we get the world's attention, let's tell them about Jesus. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord God, we do not deserve this opportunity. Some of us need to ask forgiveness for the things that we've said. Some things that we've posted that we never should have. And we're going to need to develop a new reputation. But we pray, Lord, that your Spirit won't let us rest until we begin to be recognized by the world as these speakers of truth. These people who want to bring peace. Peace on the earth and peace with you in heaven. And Lord, we pray when the opportunity comes, we'll remember that it was your Son Jesus that you sent down into this world to bring peace, to take upon himself our sin, to die in our place so that we could be forgiven. We could have a home in your church on earth and a home with you in heaven. There's so many are not ready to listen to us, Lord. Quite frankly, we have not proven ourselves that faithful to be listened to. Help us to consider more carefully. Is what we're getting ready to say true? Is it the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help us, God. Help us be those kind of people that the world could trust. And then help us tell them the truth about your Son, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.